Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody, welcome. And thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach. I'm here with Laura. We're talking today about, again, one of my favorite topics. It's the idea of how to collect and value and celebrate small wins in the relationship. I think it's one of the most important skills that couples can learn. Before we get to it, though, I want to draw your attention to we are kind of waking up on social media. We started a YouTube channel. We started a Twitter account. We started back posting on Instagram. I'm learning more about stories. So that's pretty fun. And yeah, it'd be cool if you check us out, follow us. We're still building it, but yeah, you can help us do that. You have been faithful friends along the way, and so grateful for you, and just hope that you will jump on board. For now, though, let's go ahead and talk about small wins. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around. So I don't usually exercise in the morning. I usually exercise in the evening, so yeah. I'm have that like post-workout kind of shortness of breath and kind of thickness of chest. That's what I feel right now. Good. It hasn't really been one of those mornings.
You're doing the Peloton?
Yeah. Although I got a rowing. Did I tell you I got a rowing machine?
No, you did not.
I did. I'm so excited.
Where did you put it? Your house is in limiting space. Limited.
It's in my front room right now. Okay. But I think I'm, I don't know where I'm going to end up putting it, but it's in the front room for now.
Okay.
Our whole house is in a little bit of disarray because we are moving lots of things around and we're painting and we're putting in some new carpet. So it doesn't really matter where it goes right now.
Yeah. Good for you. So I didn't intend on working out, but I went, have you ever had a bike fitting done?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. So I had a bike fitting done and I didn't expect, like I showed up and I was like, hey, at least I wasn't in jeans, but I was like, hi, I'm here to get measured. And he's like, great, go ahead and get on the bike. I was like, should
I start? They're just going to wrap some tape around you and be like, oh, 56, 31,
yeah,
12.
Yeah. I've gone in for like,
this is how tall your bike is.
Yeah. Bra fittings. He's like, how tall are you? And that was like literally the only information he got from me. And he measured my shoulders, which, it's not expected that they're larger than average, I believe is what he said. Anyway, so I did that this morning, but I was sweating and literally like dripping from my armpits. And I just did not expect that.
Right on. Yeah. Cool.
I'm excited to like ride a bike that fits me at some point, but I guess I got to buy a bike.
Yeah. I want to tell this story though. So many, many years ago, I was training to ride what's called SDP in the Pacific Northwest. That means Seattle to Portland. Mm-hmm. And so that was, that's when you get on your bike. It's about 200 miles. You do it over 2 days. And Laura was kind enough one day to say, I'll ride with you a part of it. So I had this, I don't know, I think it was 120 mile training ride. And there was about a 15 mile loop in the middle. And you're like, I got 15 miles in me. And I said, cool, I'll meet you here and you can ride with me till there. And that'll be that. So I get there and I'm on my bike, which I've been fitted for and I paid a lot of money for. And I've been like really like taken really good care of and trying to like name, I gave it a name and I loved it. And I just loved on it. And you pull this thing out and I'm like, what is that? And you're like, this is my bike. Yeah. And I'm like, did you pay money for that bike? And you're
I did.
$100.
I paid $100 for that bike.
Yeah, but who did you pay $100 to?
It was probably about 1:30 in the morning, and I was in Chinatown, the International District of Seattle, at 1:30 in the morning, walking home from a karaoke bar that is one of my friend's favorites. Granted, this was 10 years ago. And my husband looked over and he saw a gentleman who was residing on the street there. And he said, hey, buddy, that's a really
nice. He was just sitting out in front of his house, which was a tarp.
Yes. Yes.
Under the bridge.
Yep. And, you know, in my husband's glassy eyed state, he said, that's a really nice bike. And the buddy said, I'll sell it to you. So my husband made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. He said, take my wife and I'll take the bike and I'll go grab $100 out of the ATM. And so I hung out with this gentleman and chit chatted with him long enough for that my husband could go grab $100 out of the ATM. And I walked away with a Bianchi coast to coast bicycle. And then when I told you I paid $100 for it, you just about spit out, you know, the water from your water bottle.
Yeah. Cause you definitely are riding a stolen bike.
It is very much so a hot bike. So, but to clear my name, we did put in the, what is it called? The
serial number.
Serial number to see if it had been reported, and it had not been reported in the state of Washington.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know why?
Because it was reported in the state of California. Oh gosh. Anyway, I have been riding that bike.
You're like, whoops, I don't live in California. So I don't.
Yeah. So anyway, that's the bike I've been riding for 10 years and I've been training with these women. Did I tell you that I signed up for the half Ironman?
You did.
Yeah. Oh, did I send you the picture of me in my wetsuit?
Nope.
Oh, I'll send it to you right now. You have to see it. I think I might just wear it around the house from time to time because it makes me feel like a superwoman. You know what a wetsuit feels like.
I do.
And looks like. Yeah. I'll send you this picture because it makes me feel happy.
Thanks.
And
thanks.
Yeah. Did we have anything important that we wanted to talk about today?
No, but first of all, it's Saturday, which
right.
we never do.
I know.
So we can talk about whatever we want. We have all morning. We could talk all day long if we want to. So this
okay. Can we dissect how much I enjoyed talking to, because we didn't talk about this, how much we enjoyed talking to Terry Real.
We did. So, Radio Land, Marriage Therapy Radio Land. Do you remember that, episode we did where I got mad at Laura for missing the time of the interview? And then it turned out I was wrong about that time. Mm-hmm. That interview was when we were supposed to talk to Terry Real.
Right.
Who we talked to on Thursday. And that episode, I guess now as they air, would be two episodes ago. But Terry Real is one of our heroes. He's probably my second favorite couples therapist, or not second favorite, but sort of second
Who's
most influential
first?
Couples therapist. Well, John is the one who has the most influence in my practice.
Yeah.
Terry probably second most for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got to talk to him. So yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because what I would ultimately like to talk about today are really easy things.
Mm, okay.
Because Terry invites us to think and do really hard things. But but yeah, what's on your mind about that?
Well, I just like almost immediately we hopped off of our interview with Terry and I got through a third of the book, which I think is more than what I
That's
expected.
Your pattern. Yep.
That's my pattern, right?
Yeah.
And I loved it. I thought it was really great. But I'm an audio listener, and because his book is up until, I mean, it hasn't even been released yet.
Yeah.
But it will.
Yeah. Well, it has now.
Yes. It's called Us, and you can find it, but it's going to be most likely a hard copy, right?
Yep.
Yes.
I think it'll almost certainly be audible, but on.
I actually think I did see an audible version, but I couldn't. Anyway, the thing that really stood with me or stuck with me is talking about getting to know this adaptive child. And I also really love the grace that he talks about of saying, look, like our nervous system is built into us. It's scanning. I think he dropped a statistic that kind of blew my mind. He said, we are taking in information of whether or not we feel safe 4 times a second. Do you remember him saying that?
Four times a minute. Yeah.
I think it was a second. I really do. I think that we're constantly scanning, and it's part of our polyvagal, you know, sensory. Anyway, that blew my mind. And I was just really, I really appreciated him saying that is something that you need to be thankful for. Like, be thankful for this automatic system that you have going, your nervous system that's constantly scanning for safety. And also recognize that you have some really great coping mechanisms that you put into place early on in life, and
sure.
they're probably not serving you in your relationship right now. And I love that, because I think that we have a tendency to kind of go into a place of shame and anger at ourselves for having these reactive moments. And what I heard him say is, look, like there is a real reason why you have adapted and why that has come out that served you at some point in your life. And now it's not, it's good to get to know that part of you and to be able to say, not now. And I think he said, you know, like put that little boy behind you and have him hold on to your coattails so that you can be in your wise adult brain and communicate with your partner. That part, love, love, loved. And then I went on to talk to just about every client I had that day about their wise adult and then their adaptive, you know.
I did the same thing. I was like, let me tell you everything I know about trauma right now, because that is really happening right here in the room. Uh-huh. But he's, again, he's, no matter how much training you get with Terry or with relational life therapy, he's just uniquely gifted. And so if you can watch him do live therapy, or if you can watch him on YouTube or something, it's really impressive to see him tap into these stories. And that really only comes from both his own journey and I think just decades of doing that work, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked him a lot more than I thought I was going to like him. I think I said that to you, that I think most people sort of, well, I'll say this. A gal I was talking to said that she saw Susan Johnson and Terry Real. Susan Johnson does emotionally focused therapy. She has a book called Hold Me Tight. And if you're looking for a great book, that's also a great book. But she saw Terry Real and Susan Johnson on the same day. And her friend instantly said, ugh, Terry Real, yuck. He's too harsh. Which he is. He's from the East Coast. He's too harsh. He curses, blah, blah, blah. The way he talks, it just rubs me the wrong way. And she loved Susan Johnson. And this gal said she just really could not listen to Susan Johnson for one more minute. Mm-hmm. And she really gravitated toward Terry. And it's interesting that I'm saying this, because I think you have that response to your therapist in the same way.
Totally. Totally.
Right?
Different strokes for different folks, right?
Totally.
I mean, I think what I've been telling people a lot is they want to know what's a good therapist. And I'm like, a good therapist is somebody that you connect with and that you trust.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sitting with somebody who, you know, is the world's expert in XYZ, but you don't like them, you don't connect with them, they don't, then they're not a good therapist for you.
Right.
Right. And so, I don't think I'd ever describe Terry as harsh, but I do think that he's, has certainly a lot more edge and kind of strength to his point of view than a lot of therapists that are kind of, I don't know, the brand of a therapist is be gentle, be empathetic, be like unconditional positive regard. I think he does that, but without a lot of compromise. Like he's willing to piss you off, which I think is really, I think that's why I'm drawn to him, because I'm sort of willing to do that. I just don't feel as skilled perhaps as sometimes when I watch him, I was like, wow, I can't believe he said that or did that or went there. Which I know some people say that about me too. So it's just a scale, you know?
Yeah. So I had to tell you about something, because I've been collecting books, and Terry Real's book was the first one that I had to sort of dive into, but there's another book that I started reading and I wanted to see, kind of tap into, are you interested? Because I'd love to get this author on the podcast or have an expert in this come and discuss, but it's called Should I Stay or Should I Go? Surviving a Relationship with a Narcissist. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of the book? Do you talk about narcissism or narcissistic traits or narcissistic personality disorder at all in your relationship?
I don't talk about it a lot. It's really hard, because if you don't have a client who's ready to embrace that part of their persona, then it's a non-starter, right? You have to, you have to have somebody who just goes, and then maybe they don't have to like fully embrace it, but if you know, you can't call someone a narcissist, you can't convince someone that they're a narcissist. You can't, you can't trick them into, you know, reading a book about narcissism.
Yeah.
You have to sort of hold up a mirror and go, hey, this is just what it's called. The behavior that you're demonstrating, or that your wife or your husband is reporting, it falls into this category. And do you want to care about that? And if you don't, you might be better off like not doing couples therapy, you know, but if you do, but that book that you're talking about is probably written for someone who's in relationship with a narcissist that doesn't want to be in therapy.
You know? Well, the reason why I'm mentioning it is because I do find that more often than not, the individuals or couples that are coming to me, the layperson, is using the language of narcissist way more than therapists are using it. I think that it's kind of one of those hot labels.
Well, it kind of happened beginning in 2016 that we all became like very aware of what a narcissist looked like and what gaslighting looked like. And all of that language sort of came into the public domain.
Gaslighting is another word that has been thrown around a lot, not by therapists, but again, by the layperson.
By the general public who exists in the on the planet and specifically in the country.
I'm not a historical guru, but 2016 seems like a pretty important time in the United States.
There was a pretty big cultural shift in that time. And it wasn't. It wasn't the shift in reality. It was a shift in the public domain. Mm-hmm. Everything that we started to learn about on a daily basis has been around forever, but it just became much more prominent.
Strange. Yeah. I hope people can pick up what we're putting down here.
I don't know.
Are you sipping on your Zip Fizz right now?
I gave up Zip Fizz.
What?
I know.
Why?
Yeah. Because I wanted to be free of caffeine. So this is just electrolytes.
Hold the phone. You're free of caffeine like
100%.
Completely 100%.
No caffeine.
When did you do that?
3 weeks ago.
How was I not consulted on this? That's a big deal.
Well, I had a lot of other stuff going on. So it wasn't like topic A for me. But basically I ran out of Zip Fizz and I had
of
some
narcissistic traits. Yeah. So you had all this going on in your life and you shifted and you dropped Zip Fizz from your diet. And why was I not consulted and informed about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically I ran out of Zip Fizz and I didn't have time to go to Costco to get more.
All right.
So I was with some clients the other day and we were talking about how they needed to seize the moment, seize the day, if you will. And she said, you never know. It's possible that one of us gets hit by a bus tomorrow. And I wondered, like, why is that the go-to thing when you're going to hypothetically die that you get hit by a bus? It got me thinking, of course, about how fragile life is. And in fact, got me thinking about life insurance. I mean, hear me out, especially the parents out there. Fabric has an incredible life-term insurance policies that can be customized by your family. You can be up and running in just 10 minutes. So then you can enjoy your summer worry-free, don't worry about the buses, because you and your family will be protected. Fabric was built by parents for parents to help make it easier to manage your family's finances. It's all online, so everything's on your schedule. You don't need to set up an appointment or make time for phone calls. Just apply online when it's convenient for you. It takes less than 10 minutes. And you'll see your quote, then personalize it to fit your family's needs. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Fabric has a 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can cancel at any time. And here's one more thing that's pretty cool. If you're looking for more than life insurance, Fabric's online hub lets you handle all of your family's finances in one place. You can create a will, you can start your kids' college saving plan, and even set up a rainy day fund. Protect your family's financial future with Fabric. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/MTR. That's meetfabric.com/MTR. meetfabric.com/MTR. Fabric Insurance Agency policies are issued by Vantis Life. Not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. Okay, look out for those buses.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
What else is happening in the world of therapy? Do you have any?
Well, here's what I wanted to do. I feel like we've been really heavy for about a month. I know I have. And I wanted to just say, hey, what about people who just want to do something? And I'm going to retread a little bit here, but I think it's almost like greatest hits because I've been thinking a lot about, did I tell you I have this supervisee? I've got another therapist that I'm supervising.
Yeah.
She's in Ireland.
But she's licensed in the state of Washington.
She lives in Ireland.
Got it. Aye, aye.
And, So I meet with her every other week and we talk about stuff and she's adorable. I love her. She's actually teaching me a lot, but, she's also teaching me a lot about like little Irish phrases and things that like whatever. So that's really cool. But she asked me a question that, it was the first time I ever felt like I like directly corrected her because she was talking about the first session or two. And, you know, when she's trying to build rapport for the couple and couples usually want in the first session or two, some kind of homework, right? Mm. They want something to do. Mm-hmm. They're like, what should we do? What should we do now that we started therapy? Mm-hmm. And she said, what I tell them is carve out 3 hours in the next week where you're going to sit down and have a nice long talk with each other. Mm. And I was like, no. Do not give them that homework.
Why?
So a couple that's just come into therapy, they're citing their communication problems. They're citing their conflict issues. They're not clear about their friendship. They're bereft. Maybe one of them is more motivated than the other. Mm-hmm. They leave their first session. Maybe. And you go, hey, thank you for this nice hour that you just carved out for your relationship. Yeah. I want you to do this 3 more times all by yourself.
Uh-huh.
That is setting them up for failure.
Because likely what they're going to do, and we see this all the time when we do our couples workshops, is that when we say, hey, here's some time to talk about your relationship. Mm-hmm. And they pick the most difficult, most entrenched, mm-hmm. most gridlock yep. topic. And they say, yeah, let's get into that. Because if we fix this thing, it's going to give me so much peace. We're going to fix it all. But you haven't given them anything to change their dynamic up to that point.
So I want to talk today to the people who are like, man, everything feels really big. There's actually some big stuff. Mm-hmm. We need to talk, but we don't really know how to. Maybe you're married to a narcissist. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's trauma and you're sort of constantly in your adaptive child. Whatever it is, you're not going to have success sitting down for 3 unsupervised hours to try and have a meaningful conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking about, okay, well, she asked me, she goes, well, what then? What should I do? And I went to 2 things that are oldies but goodies for you and me that I want to talk about today, just so that we can sort of say, hey, if you forgot how to do this, or if you're new to the podcast, this is part of our greatest hits. Okay. And number one is, if I'm giving you a simple piece of homework about how to go through the next week, say between your therapy appointments, I want you to win the week. Mm-hmm. We talked to what's your buddy, Chad, what's his last name?
What's your buddy? I don't have a Chad, but I like that we're calling every male Chad and every female Karen. I appreciate that. It helps me keep track of them.
No, your guy with the gratitude journal.
Craig.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so what's Craig's last name?
Craig Smith.
Yeah. Craig Smith. Uh-huh. Talking to Craig Smith about kind of greatest day mindset and mm-hmm. just the idea of how to win the week. So if you're winning the week, there's 7 days in a week, so you can win 4-3. Or if it's a work week, you can win 5-2, you know, but basically have more wins than losses over the span of a week. But what are you doing, right? Well, it kind of doesn't matter. Mm. But I like what we've often talked about is the idea of reunions and departures.
Right.
So do we wake up every day and have some measure of kindness, connection, care for one another?
Oh.
When we depart for work, do we have a secret handshake? Do we plant a seed of a conversation that we're going to have later that night? Do we mm-hmm. have a, a nice long hug before we leave?
Okay.
When we come back from work, do we have just like the Mr. Rogers moment? That is the very clear mm-hmm. transition from out there to in here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he needs to go, maybe he comes home from work. It's been stressful. He needs to go up, change his clothes and like put on his slippers before he comes down and tries to do relationship. But is that reunion stewarded on purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And then the departure, of course, is do we go to bed? And I've said it a million times. Maybe you don't go to bed together, but you can go to the bed together mm-hmm. and tuck her in and
sleep give
her
at the same time. But you can go to bed at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, you can tuck her in, or you guys can say, I had a couple yesterday say, yeah, we do 3 good things. Mm-hmm. We do 3 good things every day. You know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. But so for me, when I was talking to my supervisee, her name's Patricia. I said, of course, her name's Patricia, or Patty, right? She lives in Ireland. But for me, it was, no, give them something that they can very easily do that takes them less than a minute, less than 5 minutes mm-hmm. a day.
Okay.
But that does press all these buttons, right? We do, we're demonstrating commitment. We're building trust by showing up for one another. We are doing the or doing the thing that just says, I'm interested in you and I'm interested in putting in the work with you. Mm-hmm. And maybe you forget one day, but you've got seven.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about lowering
the bar is basically what I hear you saying. Cause if Patty says 3 hours, talk to each other about, you know, just talk to each other. Of course.
I can't find 3 hours with Rebecca.
I can't even tell you. I mean, I was on a 3 hour date last night and I enjoyed like 10 minutes of it with my husband. So I think the bar would have been great at 10 minutes.
You guys might need to see somebody.
I think it was fine. I'm just, yeah. You know, it's, you can love your partner, but as an introvert, it doesn't matter who you're with. You just need to be by yourself. And I was tapped out from my week, but, okay. So here's what I hear you saying is find something that is small, but impactful that puts deposits in that emotional bank account. That's 100% thing.
Yep. Okay. And for me, the way I sometimes talk about it is find something that's significant enough that if you miss it, you miss it. Mm-hmm. Like if you guys kiss each other and give each other a nice long hug every single morning before you go to work, mm-hmm. the day that you don't do that, you should miss it. You should be like, wait, what happened? And maybe you're sick. That's fine. It doesn't have to mean that you're in a fight, but maybe you're just not feeling well. And so you don't want to give your partner COVID or something, you know, mm-hmm. but maybe you just want to say, you know, what is it that we do on purpose that is significant enough to us that we notice when it's not there? And I think there's hundreds of ideas. And that's the part where people are like, well, what am I supposed to do exactly? I'm like, it doesn't matter. Mm-mm. Just steward that transition really well.
The repetition is so important. I have two people that are popping out in my head. And it's this gentleman that is a parent at my kid's school. And we're getting ready to go for the third time to this camp situation where we rent these tiny cabins and our kids run amok for 3 days. And every time we do it, sometimes I walk away, I'm like, oh, that was so much work and my kidneys are failing and like all this stuff like of this weekend. And he's always like, let's book the next year right now. Everybody go to the office and book it. And I'm like, what's the deal? And he said, because these kids will never remember this unless you do it over and over and over and over. And when you repeat that pattern, that's where you start to make something meaningful. And I'm like, oh, you're right. But it was so much work. So I think of him, but then I also think about this story that my husband's brother was telling me. And he said, I didn't work my daughter's senior year of high school. And every day when she left, I stood at the front door with the dog, the puppy dog in my hand. And I waved the puppy's hand goodbye. And that's the story that she tells. Mm-hmm. She fondly, remembers her dad standing at the door, waving goodbye with the dog paw. And it's because he did it every single day. That was the repetition. And that was the goodbye ritual. And that was really meaningful for her. She began to really kind of feel solidified in my dad is there for me. He loves me. He's taking care of me. So I'm listening to you, but I'm also thinking like, whatever you choose, make sure that it's something that you can repeat every day. It's not, you know, like we're going to have this really cool ritual. It's going to be super meaningful, but can you really do it every day?
Well, and here's the reality too, of even just what you're describing. Think about this. Your adult kids are talking about their family and they're talking about what it was like to grow up in their house. And they say, you know what? My mom and dad, every single day, they kissed each other before work, said, I love you, and gave each other a nice long hug. Like that's powerful. Like forget what you're doing for your marriage. But if you're trying to build some sense of what secure attachment looks like, maybe even if you're not getting along, even if last night they had a fight, the next morning they got up, they said, I love you. They gave each other a kiss and a nice long hug. And again, it doesn't have to be a kiss and a nice long hug. It could be an uninterrupted coffee. It could be they played the same music in the morning. We listened to classical music in the morning as a way to say we're setting our day up for peace and harmony. You know, that could be enough of a seed to plant that you're just to communicate to your kids or to your family that this is an important thing for us.
Yeah. You might hear my dog in the background. That's totally fine. Dash needs to have his moment too. Just saying.
It's fine.
Okay. So let me get you back on track. Cause you said, here's what I told Patty. You need to win the weekend. And you started win the week. And you started talking about the rituals of creating your hellos and your goodbyes.
Hellos and goodbyes 4 times a day. Most of us in the, like who are sort of in the traditional setup, we have 2 reunions and 2 departures, 2 departures. We have reunion 1 when we wake, we have departure 1 when we leave for our day. We have reunion two when we come back, and we have departure two when we go to sleep.
Yeah.
Right. And I think just putting things in there, less than 5 minutes, people, literally less than 5 minutes a day, will change the way that you think about your relationship. You'll go back to your session the next week and I'll say, hey, how did you do this week? You go, we won the week.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like for you? Well, it was like this. It felt good. We did this, and this is, and there's a little bit of light in your eyes, and there's a little bit of like sense of accomplishment. And sometimes you lose the week, but there's data there too. Why? We're still really angry at each other. Okay, well, let's settle it down. Or why did you do that? Well, turns out she's an anesthesiologist and her schedule isn't consistent enough that for us to have this ritual every single day. And so, okay, well, we can work around that. You know, there's lots of ways that you can adapt it, but you got to start with something. You got to start with meaningful data.
Yeah.
Okay. And it can't be 3 hours of prolonged conversation that you set aside.
Poor Patty, you're throwing her under the bus.
Her name is Patricia.
Oh, excuse me, but I like calling her Patty.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's something else that I would say, which might be repetition, but what is something easy that you can do that can significantly give you something to focus on between first session with your therapist and I don't know anything new. All my therapist did was listen to my pain that first session. And I send folks home and I say, you know what I want you to do? Every time you go to make a pot of coffee, put your sticky note, I've said this a million times, put your sticky note next to the coffee pot with pen. And when you're sitting there and you're waiting for that coffee to brew, I want for you, the first thing that you think of in the morning is, what do I have gratitude and appreciation and admiration for in my partner that happened in the last 24 hours? And that's the way that I'm starting my day. I'm going to write it on the sticky note and I'm going to put that sticky note somewhere where my partner can see it. It could be where they go to grab their mugs, or it could be on their bathroom mirror. But I'm going to just start my day off with doing something for my own sense of positive sentiment about my partner by expressing, thinking about gratitude, putting myself in that positive mindset. And then I'm going to also affirm my partner by writing it on a sticky note and having them read it. That's something that I think transforms just the overall climate in the relationship.
Totally.
Is I'm doing something positive.
What you're saying is connected to something I often say, which is, what do we do? And I say, you know, I always shift responsibility back to the individual, because you got to have two wise-minded individuals in the room in order to do effective couples therapy. And so I was like, look, if you really want to make a difference, number one thing you got to do is take care of your side of the street. And in the Gottman vernacular, that's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, but of course it's all over the map. But if you're a person who has contempt for any reason at any level, gratitude is a good way to combat that.
Yeah.
And so I like that you're saying, hey, what here's the thing about gratitude. I read this study. I can't remember what it is and I'll find it if anybody asks me, but about gratitude, a gratitude practice significantly decreases your body's ability, not its tendency, but its ability to generate cortisol, which is a stress hormone.
Wow.
So the more frequently you are grateful, the more you can protect your own body from stress. Here's another piece of it. The more specific you are, hey, not thanks for making me dinner last night, but thanks for making me that dinner last night, that recipe from my grandmother. It was amazing. And I really loved that you went out of the way and actually went shopping for it. Like, the more specific you can get for gratitude, it's actually a health benefit to you personally. And so sometimes people are like, well, what if I don't feel like I want to be nice to my partner? I'm like, why about you be nice to yourself?
Yeah.
And the way you do that is you generate gratitude for your environment, if not your relationship, but maybe specifically for your partner, because they're not in their mechanics office or their financial advisor's office. They're in their couples therapist's office. So I'm talking to them about how to benefit the couple's relationship. So
I really like that, because I do find that sometimes couples come in and they're at a stalemate where they're like, I'm not willing to give you any more in this relationship. I have been putting out more and more and more. And I'm like, great, then let's focus on you. Let's give you something instead.
Totally.
There's an added benefit here where your partner, you know what, to be perfectly honest, I mean, there's two bonuses to this sticky note challenge, right? The bonus is makes you feel good, reduces your cortisol, like all of those good things of remembering gratitude. You don't even have to give your partner the sticky note. You could only do half of that.
Totally.
It still benefits the freaking relationship, benefits you.
Well, and people say, I don't want to go first, so I don't want to be the bigger person. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Why not? Well, it doesn't seem fair, or they're not going to do it. I'm like, so what if it's just the right thing to do? What if just being a kind and generous person is the right thing to do, or the right thing to model for your kids, you know?
Yeah.
because, you know, these tit for tats that we get in about sort of why we do what we do, it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And so I don't know, I've been trying to figure out how to set up couples for success, give them an opportunity to sort of win the week.
Mm-hmm. Without any skills at all.
Well, in order to do the really hard stuff, which is grapple with the trauma,
right,
and grapple with the diagnoses and grapple with the well-worn grooves of discontentment and of frustration and of bad communication. You know, I just think that you can't do that unless you're kind of taking care of the sort of the daily easy parts. Because the other benefit, of course, is if you come into your second appointment or your third appointment or whatever, and the therapist says, "How'd you do? Did you win the week?" And you go, "Yeah." And you're able to say, "I won because she was amazing." Mm-hmm. Because I forgot twice, but he didn't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was cool because, I didn't even realize how important it was to let him or her have her Mr. Rogers moment at the end of the day, because mm-hmm. they usually walk in and I hand her the baby and it's this fight immediately. But as soon as he had his slippers on and his cardigan, he was the best dad ever, you know? And you find out stuff that you just didn't know before. But nothing changes if nothing changes. That's what I tell couples all the time. Like, nothing changes if nothing changes. So you got to change something, and it might as well be something easy.
Yeah. Well, I think you also
said
something.
That's a money quote right there, by the way.
Is it?
That one to the bank.
Well, we'll have to rewind it because we do have a spreadsheet where we put those money quotes in. And by we, I mean you. So you mentioned something, which is, get yourself ready. Prepare yourself for the hard work. It's interesting because I'm relating everything now to this Ironman training. Taking your baseline, where you exist currently, but knowing that you're going to be doubling down on your training in the future. And you can't do any of that unless you have your coping mechanisms in place, unless you have leaned into, I'm going to do some hard things. I'm going to really start to like be asked to change. I'm going to be looking deep inside of certain things about myself that have been less than lovely. And I need to have my coping mechanisms lined up and strengthened in order to do that. And some people come in and they're like, "Laura, no problem. I've been in years of therapy. I know how to take care of myself when I do hard stuff. I know how to keep myself in my wise adult brain. I know how to breathe. I know how to meditate. I know how to like work out. I know how to eat and sleep and blah, blah, blah." But for many people, I could send them away after that first session, say, "We're going to work on just how to take care of you so that you can do the hard stuff that's coming," and getting those coping mechanisms down. Because sometimes
I'm going to blow your mind. Are you ready? I'm going to blow your mind and land this plane at the exact same time.
Oh, do tell.
It's a very, very bad idea to go into an aggressive, long-term goal that you have around your triathlon without getting fitted for your bike first.
What?
But it's true, right? Like if you could ride your bike all day long, but if you're riding your bike hunched over, or you're riding a bike that's too short, or you're riding a bike that's not fitted for you, you'll injure yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the maybe the most important part of your training for this half iron is to go and do that appointment where you get measured and you get fitted and you get the whole thing sort of tuned up, so that when you get on, when you start to use the tool,
yeah,
it's the right tool for you at the right time. And you're not just, you know, riding around on your stolen homeless bike to you know, try and ride. What is it? That'd be what, 100 miles and a half iron?
50? No. It's 56. The full is, twice of 56, 112. But okay.
I did 15 on my Peloton this morning.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
That's great. Congratulations. Yeah. I probably did 5, but sweat all the toxins out of my body in front of Bart at Bowen Fitness in Bend, Oregon.
There you go.
Anyway. All right. Let's land this plane.
Yep.
And thank you for joining me on a Saturday morning, and let's go have some fun this weekend. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. Zach reminded me that we still have an Instagram page. That's fun. So if you have Instagram, you should like us. It's Marriage Therapy Radio, at Marriage Therapy Radio. And then also, if you have not written us a 5-star review, we're begging you. There was a review that said, "I only wrote this because Laura begged for it," which is what I'm doing now, is saying that if there's something that you enjoy about this podcast, let other listeners know, because that's really how it comes down to having people read those reviews and say, "All right, I'll give you some time and energy." So wherever you're listening to it, whether it be on Audible, Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, send us a 5-star review. We thank you in advance. Thank you for all of your time and energy making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money.